Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
5 o'clock, big hour. We get to everything. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Mason Ireland, you guys, Lindsay, Funch, everybody's here. So there's been a lot of talk now about the Players Coalition that is involved with the NBA going into the bubble. It's led by Kyrie Irving. Dwight Howard is part of it, and so is Avery Bradley. And there were some concrete steps that Avery Bradley and this coalition requested as part of some sort of resolution, including greater opportunities for African Americans to step up into leadership positions in NBA organizations, further investment by the NBA into underserved neighborhoods and minority causes into minority neighborhoods, and financial support and donations to the Black Lives Matter movement. Those sorts of things were recommended or suggested by Avery Bradley. And from everything I've heard, I haven't heard that the NBA has said no to that. I think it's probably an easy thing for the NBA to jump on, and the right thing for the NBA to jump on.
And I hope they do it. I think all those ideas that Avery Bradley suggested are really good. And the LA Times wrote yesterday that based on conversations they've been having, they weren't sure whether or not Avery Bradley was going to sit out. He's got a week to decide. And if he did, I think the Lakers, you know, and just let me reiterate my position on this. Anybody who sits out of the bubble, whether it be for health reasons, whether it be for personal beliefs about what's going on in this country, I don't think it's right to hold that against them. I think it is completely up to each individual player. If somebody feels that their heart's not in it, for whatever reason, and they want to sit it out, that is completely their right. And Adam Silver has already come out and said that that player will not be punished. He takes a small cut in salary, but I think that anybody taking a stand like that would not be doing it for money anyway. So if, you know, Kyrie Irving's not going to play because he's injured.
Right.
But if Avery Bradley or Dwight Howard does it, Mace, for those reasons, I think if you're the Lakers or any other team that's losing a couple of rotation guys, you just respect their decision, and then next man up. You try and find somebody who can take those minutes.
So Kendrick Perkins was on the Jump today, and he said this about Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard can't go, because now if he go, he's going to lose all credibility for what he's standing for and what he's talking about right now. So if he's backing up Kyrie Irving 100%, and I'm all with it, if he's standing for what he believe in, I will support him. But there's no way he could go down to Orlando and play after talking about it and saying he want to make a stance and that he agree with Kyrie Irving. He has to stay home.
Okay, I actually disagree with Kendrick here, and I love Kendrick. But I
He's great. He'll say anything.
Yeah, I do think Dwight could. Number one, if he went, I think he'd be welcomed. And number two, what they've all been saying, Avery, Kyrie, Dwight, they've all been saying what this is about is using this platform and using this moment to generate change. And if they agree to all of what Avery Bradley told ESPN yesterday, and they say, hey, we're not only willing to help you make those changes, that we'll financially contribute to it, and all of the things they're asking for happen, why wouldn't Dwight be able to go down there and play?
Yeah, here's the part of it I don't understand. First of all, they accomplished something, right? They've actually...
Right.
They've put together a three-point plan, more opportunities for African Americans to step up into decision-making roles in NBA organizations. By the way, another today, more opportunities for minority-owned businesses to serve as vendors at NBA events. That makes perfect sense. And then more investment from NBA owners and the NBA itself into organizations working for racial justice and the Black Lives Matter movement. If that's what the coalition wanted to accomplish, once the NBA says, yes, we get it, we're going to do it, once that happens, the coalition has actually achieved something. That means Dwight Howard was part of a movement, part of this coalition that accomplished something real about the issues that he cares about the most.
And I think he would actually be going into the campus, the Orlando campus, as somewhat of a conquering hero. I think if he goes down, I think he would be really inspired. I mean, he's had an unbelievable year already.
Yeah.
I've said before that if they still, they don't do it, give it away anymore, but if they still had comeback player of the year, Dwight wins in a landslide.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's been unbelievable this year. So I disagree with Kendrick in that one regard. I think that Dwight absolutely could go down there. And based on what the LA Times reported yesterday, he's leaning towards
doing
that.
He's planning to. Yeah. He's leaning towards doing it.
I would not be surprised at all if he plays. And as a Laker fan, I hope he does because he's been great.
Yeah, me too. All right. So Kendrick Perkins went on, and this is funny, really. He was talking about Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving has been part of this coalition. And again, we mentioned accomplished something, laid out some issues that the NBA can deal with and the NBA can step up to the plate for. But he also, at one point this week, talked about starting his own league. He's been sort of all over the map. Here is Kendrick Perkins on Kyrie as a distraction.
Guess what's been going on for the last 2 days in our world? Two people have been lynched in the state of Texas. A young African-American young lady was killed in Akron, Ohio, behind a hate crime. And have that been highlighted like it should have been? No, because for the last 2 days, we have been talking about Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie Irving, right now, you are the distractor. You distracting the whole situation. It's crazy to me because, you know, you come out and you do something separately without talking to your president, Chris Paul, or consulting with Michelle Roberts, and go off and do something totally different and get a group of guys together and say, let's sit out without a plan. It makes zero sense. And I totally disagree with Kyrie Irving.
So he's saying Kyrie is a distraction. He also made this comment about Kyrie.
If you take Kyrie Irving's brain and put it in a bird right now, guess what that bird is going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fly back.
It's going to fly backwards. It's going to fly backwards.
One point Kendrick made. You notice that none of the owners are talking. You know, they're not
right.
Saying anything. The players do appear somewhat divided. And Kyrie was one of the 28 people that voted 28-0 to approve the Orlando campus plan. And then for him to come out after that and build a coalition of people that we're now talking about not playing does look like the players are disjointed. But having said that, the world's changed. I mean, these protests have changed everything. And I think this thing has a chance to have a happy ending. I think, as you point out, if Avery Bradley's list all gets approved and pushed through with the help of the owners, and they make real substantive changes, and everything happens that Avery Bradley and the coalition asked for, I think they not only can go down there and play with their heads held high, but I think they'll be hailed as people that were really difference makers and took advantage of a great opportunity here. So it's not too late for this to have a happy ending, but I see what Kendrick was saying.
Why have NBA owners been, I mean, apart from Mark Lazary in Milwaukee,
Cuban, yeah, still talks
and Michael Jordan, why have NBA owners been so relatively silent during this period?
Because I think they want to be listening. I think they're and it's just my personal opinion. I think they want to hear what the players want, what they're asking for, and seeing if they can keep this together. The NFL owners are, you know, just getting killed. Because they're not saying anything. Most of the NBA owners came out right away and said, this is wrong. What happened to George Floyd is wrong. Black Lives Matter. And now let's see where we go from here. Don't you think the owners will come off really well if they put their money behind Avery Bradley's
sure.
platform and come off here? I think that's why they're not.
But why not just do it? Why not just come out and do it? We know what we're talking about now. We know
they don't.
Why aren't more owners like Mark Cuban? I guess that's the question. Why aren't more owners like Mark Cuban?
I don't know.
I saw Mark Cuban marching. Mark Cuban has made huge charitable donations. Mark Cuban has, and not you know, appearances everywhere isn't necessarily for everybody. That's something Mark Cuban's really good for. But Mark Cuban has put himself out front amongst NBA. Why aren't all owners like Mark Cuban?
Well, they could end up there. I mean, maybe just like, for example, Tanya Ganguly of the LA Times is reporting that the Lakers are giving all their employees tomorrow off for
Juneteenth. Yeah.
The Lakers today hired a woman, a very accomplished woman, to a new position that's basically going to, I want to get this right, so I want to see if I can find it, but it, they basically hired somebody that specifically, her name is Dr. Carita Brown, and she's been hired as the Director of Racial Equity and Action. They basically have hired somebody, and her credentials are just, like, staggering.
Right.
She's a tenured professor of African American Studies at UCLA. She has a PhD from Brown. She has an MPA from Penn.
And what's her title, John?
Director of Racial Equity and Action. So I think what they're doing, I think what some owners have decided, and it appears this is what the Lakers have decided, is that they want their actions to talk.
Right.
So they woke up this morning and they announced the hiring of Dr. Carita Brown and the new position of Director of Racial Equity and Action. Then they said, we're giving everybody a paid day off tomorrow in honor of Juneteenth.
Yeah.
I think that...
Have we invited Dr. Carita Brown onto the show?
I sent it to Lindsay. And Lindsay, what happened after that?
I just haven't heard back yet.
Okay.
So I'll keep you guys posted.
Because we'd love to have her on. And maybe Juneteenth would be a good day to do that tomorrow. Clayton Kershaw, by the way, sent a tweet out today about Juneteenth. He says, first of all, quotes Dr. King, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. He says, tomorrow is Juneteenth, the day that marks the abolition of slavery in 1865. Yet today, our black brothers and sisters are still facing injustices everywhere, a reality that spans the history of our country. We have to stand up and say something. Change starts with conversations. We have to be willing to listen and learn and enter into tough conversations, both with our black brothers and sisters and with our white brothers and sisters. Silence won't cut it. We have to start by saying something and standing up for our black brothers and sisters. I want to listen. I want to learn. I want to do better and be different. I want my kids to be different. Black lives matter, and I am committed to taking a stand and affecting change, starting with myself.
Good for him, number one. But you ask, why aren't more owners like Mark Cuban? I think that statements... And that was an excellent one by Kershaw.
Yeah, it was a great statement.
But statements tend to get criticized. Like, for example, the James Dolan statement, which was a bad statement, got hammered.
That could have been written in crayon. I mean, that was not a heartfelt statement. That was
right.
That was
but
garbage.
But before that, he was criticized for not making any statement.
Correct.
So what I would do if I owned a team is I would do what the Lakers are doing. I would hire Dr. Carita Brown and create a new position like Director of Racial Equity and Action. Then I would give all my employees tomorrow off as a paid holiday for Juneteenth.
Yeah, no, those are really positive steps.
I think what Avery Bradley and the coalition and Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard want to see is action. And my sense is, and tell me if you agree, that if the NBA comes out and says, hey, we're going to help you get your checklist taken care of.
Yep.
Get the thing. I think then Dwight Howard can say, all right, people are listening. We're making a difference. Let's go play. And I think that would be the best thing for Dwight. And obviously, since I'm a Laker fan, it'd be the best thing for the Lakers. So hopefully that's how this ends.
All right. Coming up next for you, Buster Olney talking about exactly how this 16-team playoff would work for Major League Baseball. I, for one, hate it. If this does go down and baseball is able to make a deal, I think
it may be for 2 years.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. Get into that coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, a bubble, and then there's the integrity of the bubble. The integrity of the bubble is the important thing. The sanctity of the bubble. Yes. All right. So, I for one, really want to get back to my regular microphone and my regular seat and doing my regular show instead of sitting in my living room.
Just show up tomorrow. See how that goes for you.
Yeah, what
Funches
would happen
is there.
If I showed up? What would
Funches
happen if I
there.
Broke
I'll
the
let
rules?
You open.
Yeah, what would happen if I broke the rules?
I was going to say, I think they deactivated all of our key cards. So.
No.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, I sent out an email a while ago saying they did. And you have to get special authorization to be able to go into the building.
God. Special treatment.
Crazy.
We can't even get into the parking lot right now. Your key card wouldn't even work for the parking lot.
Where did? How do you get in?
I can get in for the parking lot, but you can't.
But they.
He's on the list.
Yeah, I'm on the list.
Okay. Wow.
They are hardcore. All right. Today, baseball, the Major League Baseball Players Association, has made a counter proposal to the owners. The owners offered 60 games, full prorated salary, and no grievances filed by either side. The Major League Baseball players want 70 games, same deal, full prorated salaries, no grievance on any side. In a normal world, you would say, oh, that's an easy thing to fix. Just meet somewhere in the middle. But that's not the way things work amongst Major League Baseball owners and players. So Buster Olney talked about that a little bit earlier today, says there's a lot of anger on both sides.
I don't think they'll lose the leverage of this moment, you know, because I do think because of how this has played out, the incrementalism of the owner's offers, the players being accessible to fans on social media, I think they have the support, generally speaking, of fans. But, guys, if there's no baseball, in the end, you know, it would be the players going back out on the field in uniforms in front of the fans. And I think there is a lot of building anger toward both sides.
Now, let's just assume we get by this. And, you know, everybody we
talk to. Wait a minute. By the way, there's no way that thinks there's no part of you that thinks we're not getting by this, right?
No, I think we're getting by this. I'm going to move ahead and say we're getting by this. This is just a matter of finishing the little mating dance that they're doing right now. It's a mating dance. They'll come up with a deal that works. So the part of it that bothers me is that they will immediately go to, maybe for 2 years, a 16-team playoff format. Here's Buster talking about that.
16 teams potentially, if that's where the final number lands on, and I think that would be especially appropriate for this year to widen the playoff field, given the fact that it would be a shortened season. You could still play it within the current framework that we have, although that first round, how'd you like to be like a number one seed if you're the Yankees, you're the Dodgers, and I'm speculating on this part. I'm assuming that first set of games is going to be like a best of three. So it would be like number one seed against the number eight seed, you know, potentially playing three games in a four-game window before you move on to the next round. That would be something. If, in fact, they can agree to a deal, it would feel like a NASCAR restart and how accelerated everything would be and how, you know, how big of a deal it would be for a team to lose three straight games or four straight games. It would be unlike anything we've ever seen before.
And I, for one, hate it. But I hate the idea.
What's
your
alternative?
Well, a couple of things. Fewer teams. That's one scenario. Is fewer teams than 16 teams. The second scenario is it should be best 3 out of 5. Anything can happen in a 3-game series. Easy for the Dodgers to lose 2 out of 3. I'm looking who they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They play the Cubs. If based on last year's standings, they would play the Cubs in a best 2 out of 3. Last year in the first round of the playoffs. To me, best 2 out of 3, anything can happen. All of a sudden, the fewer the games, the less likely it is that the best team is going to win. And the Dodgers are the best team in the National League. We are reducing the chances that the Dodgers win the World Series.
The problem is you don't have time to play 3 out of 5 in the first round.
Then eliminate some teams. Don't
then you're
go
losing
with that
money.
Many teams.
Then you're losing money. They're doing this to take advantage, to try and make back some of the money they're losing. Every playoff game they televise is like worth $1 million. Less teams isn't solved the problem. The reason they're demanding more teams in the playoffs is to take advantage of the games to make more money.
Well, then it's got to be at a minimum, and Mark Teixeira, I don't know if you were on when he said this, but he and I agreed that best 3 out of 5 is the way you've got to go. Best 3 out of 5 gives you a much more representative sample. So you've got 4 best of 5 series, 2 best of 7 series, and then then would you go to the World Series?
Yeah, but let me ask you this. If that pushes you into November, are you okay with that?
Let's be honest here. All right, so is there a huge difference between October the 29th, which is where Major League Baseball wants to end the season, and November the 7th?
According to Dr. Fauci, there is. He doesn't think they should play into November.
But it's only 1 week. He doesn't think they should play into October.
Right.
Fauci thinks they shouldn't play into October. We're talking about
adding 1 week to the playoffs. And he also thinks they should play in a bubble.
He also thinks they should play in a bubble, exactly. I just think that the randomness increases when you're talking about a best
that's undeniable.
Three series.
Yeah, that's you're right about
hurts,
that.
It hurts our chances. That's the way I'm looking at it. As a Dodger fan, a 2 out of 3 series hurts our chances because it's easy to lose 2 out of 3.
It is, easy but if you pitch Buehler and Kershaw in the first two games and David Price in game three, that gives you a pretty good chance to win.
It gives you a pretty good chance to win. Right. It gives you a pretty good chance to win. But there is no absolutely no guarantee that you're going to win a best of three. Best of threes are weird, man. Best of threes are weird series. So I don't love the 16-team playoff scenario, but I'm willing to accept it as long as we get baseball. I just want Dodger fans to be prepared. The odds go down for us when we're less of a favorite when we got to come through a best of three series in the first round.
All right, so today's Thursday.
Yes, correct.
There's no way by end of show tomorrow, by 6:30 tomorrow, that this isn't resolved, right? Are they going to drag this into the weekend?
You know, they're just so friggin' close. Right?
Well, haven't we been saying that for 2 weeks?
They're just so close. It just makes sense to get it done. It's easy at this point to get it done. You've come so far in this scenario. Why dig in your heels now? Agree on 66. Agree on 64. Your math friend says it has to be an even number, right?
Yeah. You're going to have an unbalanced schedule if it's not.
Agree on 64. Agree on 66. Find some middle ground and meet in the middle somewhere and find a way to get this done. And I'll tell you, I talked to somebody. There are a fair number of people who I hear from on Twitter who are like, screw them. I don't care about baseball. Look at all the trouble they've caused, all the negotiations, all the back and forth, all the venom between the two sides, a pox on both their houses. That crowd is out there, but let's face it. We work in the world of sports. My timeline is filled with sports fans. Your timeline is filled with sports fans. The average guy in the world has no idea this is going on. Has no idea that there's some angry negotiation.
Yeah, they've got real problems that they're trying to solve.
Right. I mean, there's real stuff in the world that's happening, so they're not keeping track of this. If baseball comes back, all of this will be forgotten until we get to a new CBA agreement, and then it's all going to be remembered again because it's all going to get very, very ugly.
All right. Coming up, I want to ask you about something. I'll tease it a little bit here. Have you heard about these smart rings that are available to NBA players? Okay.
Yeah.
It's created by a company called Aura, O-U-R-A.
Okay.
And according to CNBC, the smart ring is capable of predicting COVID-19 symptoms up to 3 days in advance with 90% accuracy.
Yep.
The ring can measure body temperature, respiratory functions, and heart rate. Why aren't we talking more about this for all the sports? If you could, this could help. If this thing's accurate, okay, you can predict COVID-19 symptoms 3 days before with 90% accuracy. Shouldn't it be, unless these things are insanely expensive, shouldn't every athlete playing pro sports have one of these rings?
There might be a reason why you wouldn't want to put one of these things on.
All right, tell me next.
I'll tell you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. So they got the little ring that apparently NBA players are going to be wearing inside the bubble, which I just heard about. It's made by a company called Aura. John, explain what it does.
All right. So this ring, now the rule is that apparently staffers are going to be required to wear it and players have the option to wear it. It is capable of predicting COVID-19 symptoms up to 3 days in advance with 90% accuracy. The ring can measure body temperature, respiratory functions, and heart rate. And I thought to myself when I read this, this is a game changer. If you could get the players to wear these things, you could do a much better job of controlling coronavirus, sure, not only in NBA, but in baseball and football. But you say there's something I'm not thinking of and a reason why players will not want to wear it. What am I not thinking of?
Isn't it possible, John, that this is a tracking device?
Could be.
Isn't it possible that you don't need the snitch line because the NBA is going to know where you are at all times?
Ooh, Big Brother.
Isn't this a civil liberties issue?
Okay, but according to Lindsay, we're all being tracked by our phones anyway, and you don't go anywhere without your phone.
Yeah, I don't understand that, Lindsay. How am I being tracked with my phone? How do they know it's my phone? How do they know where I am?
It's called GPS.
Right. But if I turn off location services, like I never use location services.
Wait a minute. What happens if you use Uber?
You know, if you
I turn it on and then I turn it back off.
I was going to say, I mean, there's plenty of articles on the internet about it. Look in Google.
The internet is never wrong.
I'm just saying there's like research done. There's this whole exposé they did in the Washington Post like 6 months ago that even when you have your phone in airplane mode, they can still track you. They still had like 17 pinpoints over the course of an hour where they were able to say they were.
If that's the case, Lindsay, then why do you need that snitch line in Orlando?
You don't. Why, get rid of it.
Why don't you just know where every player is based
on
where their phone is?
I think that having access to that data and information is something that only the government, technically is allowed to use in certain situations. So you'd probably have to sign some type of waiver that says that the NBA is allowed to do it, and it would be this big thing because the players and people would probably not agree to it.
Or you could just put on a ring with a tracking device so that the league knows where you are at all times and knows if you leave the bubble or not. You're not going to get access to everybody's cell records if you're the NBA. That's a federal system you're talking about.
And it would take forever to get that approved and whatever. But with these rings, what happens if you just take the ring off when you leave? That simple,
well,
right?
That would be the scenario.
Or like they do in the Mission Impossible movies, you take the ring off and you put it on a dead guy and you leave and they think you're just laying low, but you put it on a dead guy.
If you've got a dead guy in your room, you've got a much bigger problem.
Put it around
ring.
Hey, yo, mate, put it on your dog's collar.
Put it on your dog's collar, and all of a sudden they think you're running around your house.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Your heart rate seems excessive today.
Your heart rate is very high.
There's no pets allowed in the bubble, so that would be hard to do.
True, true. Yeah, I just think that's the one concern. I love the idea of this ring that will tell 3 days in advance if you're going to show symptoms of the coronavirus. If I was the NBAPA, I would be concerned about whether or not there's some device in there that allows the league to know them where I am at all times.
I don't know
I would be against that.
I don't know if I care.
Wait a minute. How could you not care? What, you would wear a tracking device?
In the bubble, yeah.
It's like
on
wearing an ankle bracelet.
But what am I hiding? I'm only down there for seven weeks.
But there has to be some trust, right?
Right, but why? But I'm saying if the trade-off is, it tells me 3 days before that I'm showing symptoms for COVID, but it works as a tracking device, I'll take the trade-off.
I'm sorry, I will not, under any circumstances, wear a tracking device.
But you'll
I
wear
just
a,
won't.
But you'll wear a mask.
Well, that's completely different. This is a civil liberties issue. It has nothing to do with a mask.
But you're required to wear a mask.
It has to do with civil liberties. I mean, I don't think that the government or my employer has got the right to know where I am every second. It's not like I'm not wearing an ankle bracelet. This is like.
Do we know for sure that it doubles as a tracking device?
No, we don't. I am making this suggestion.
Well, you figure they've got to be able to, if they could measure all that other stuff, they could very easily
tell where you are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you would think.
All right. So, John, you know what I love talking about a lot is sex robots.
We haven't brought them up in a while. Probably.
Right.
The last time we brought it up is when they used it in Korea for the baseball games?
Correct. Okay. Correct. They had sex robots in the stands for KBO games. So a new company, the leading company when it comes to making sex robots, is a company called Real Doll. Do you own stock in Real Doll?
I do not, but should I?
Yeah, I would jump on this. I would jump on this.
Literally or figuratively?
Boom. Boom market. So they have now added a feature to their sex dolls. And by the way, I think these are going to serve a real purpose in society. Not everybody can get a spouse or a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Not everybody can. Not everybody's capable of that. Some people are shut in. Some people can't leave the house. Some people are really unattractive for whatever reason. They can't attract somebody. So
like those two, like those two women you posted on your Twitter account earlier.
Exactly.
They would have trouble finding a man.
Stephanie and Jan. Yeah. So what they've now added to this is the ability to hold conversations. So not only is your sex robot capable of satisfying your needs, but they also are able to hold conversation. So I want you to imagine, and you've come out pretty strongly against this idea, right?
No, what are you talking about? I'm as pro-sex robot as anyone you know.
So, but what would Lisa think if you got a sex robot?
Don't think I would let her know.
It'd be secret. Would you put it in your carry-on bag when you went on a Lakers road
trip?
Where
could I hide it? She never goes in the attic because it would require her using a ladder. I could just keep it in the attic.
So imagine if your conversational sex robot was with you. I was trying to dream up some things that the sex robot would actually say. So, Lindsay Funch, go ahead.
Hey, John, bring your peanut head over here.
Very exciting.
Or how about this?
Hey, big boy, love me up.
Hey, big boy, love me up. Try that one more time, folks.
Hey, big boy, love me up.
Is that the only two things the sex robot can say?
So far. But she may say other things tomorrow.
Okay.
She may say other things tomorrow. And she sounds so realistic, doesn't she?
Yeah. So far, I got to say I'm a little turned on by the sex robot.
Oh, geez.
Hey, John, bring your peanut head over here.
Yeah. Bring your peanut
Get
head
that
over
peanut
here.
Head over here.
Yeah. And then my favorite.
Hey, big boy, love me up.
Hey, big boy, love me up. So just keep it. And by the way, I would look at the sock. Real Doll. It's on NASDAQ.
What's it at? What's it at today?
It just went up. It's at 36 and a third.
Probably because you just spent 2 minutes talking it up.
2 minutes talking about it. Exactly. All right. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. So far in Game of Games, by the way, I want to be clear. There is no stock, so don't go looking at it on the NASDAQ. So far you've won one, I've won one, and Funch has won one.
Yes, but I would have won yesterday if I did not have technical difficulties. I feel like I was cheated.
I'm sorry.
Woo-hoo.
The rules are the rules, and Funch carried the day.
All right. So Lindsay is still the only person on the show who hasn't won a game.
She is flawless.
Well, I would argue that I also had technical issues that prevented me from winning. But
boy, what is this, excuse day?
No. I'm just taking John's lead.
But here's the bottom line. Scoreboard.
Yes.
Scoreboard so far is Mason 1, Funch 1, Ireland 1. Three of these things belong together. Three of these things are kind of the same. One of these things does not belong here. Now it's time to play our game. Lindsay, you're the one that doesn't belong.
I'm offended.
You better win. That's how you get unoffended. Win.
Attempt to win in Game of Games. Coming up next for you. I think, Ireland, this is your game today, right?
I got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Lindsay has a real chance, actually.
Okay, good. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is Game of Games time, and every day we play a game. We keep track of who wins the most in a month. Right now the score is me 1, Ireland 1, and Funch 1, Lindsay yet to hit the board. And John and I have the handicap of every other day actually doing the game. We write the game. So we are naturally handicapped in this thing. That should be advantage Lindsay But so far, she's not taking advantage of that.
But today could be her day because today's game is a game we've played before. Who has more?
Okay.
So you have two choices. You have to tell me who has more. Lindsay, we'll start with you. Who has more Twitter followers, Lindsay or Amanda Brown? Lindsay, you or Amanda, who has more Twitter followers?
I'm going to go Lindsay, myself.
Okay, Funch.
I'll say Lindsay.
All right, Mace.
I will say Lindsay.
It's Lindsay, and it's not close. Lindsay has 11,600.
Nice.
And Amanda has 4,500. So you guys are all on the board. All right, Funch, who has more career All-Star appearances, Kobe Bryant or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Ooh, Kobe.
It's very close.
Kobe.
You're going Kobe. Mace.
I am going to go Kobe also.
All right, Lindsay.
I'm going to go Kobe. No, I'll go Kareem. I'll just go the opposite.
You are glad you did, Lindsay. You have taken the lead. Kareem, 19. Kobe, 18. All right. Mace, who has more Oscar nominations?
Okay.
Denzel Washington or Tom Hanks? This
Denzel
is very close, by the
Tom
way.
Tom Hanks. I'm going to say Denzel.
Okay. Lindsay.
I'm going to go with Tom Hanks.
Funch.
Denzel.
The answer, Denzel Washington. He has eight. Tom Hanks has six, which means this is tied 2-2-2.
Woo.
Lindsay, who has more career home runs, Sammy Sosa or Ken Griffey Jr.?
I'm going to go with Ken Griffey Jr.
Funch.
Sammy Sosa.
Mace, break the tie.
I think it's Sammy Sosa.
Lindsay takes the lead again.
Oh,
Ken Griffey Jr., 630. Sammy Sosa, 609. Funch, who has more career rushing yards, Adrian Peterson or Barry Sanders?
I'll say Adrian Peterson.
Mace.
Well, Barry retired early. I'll say Adrian Peterson.
Lindsay.
Could be a trick, though.
Adrian Peterson or Barry Sanders, Lindsay?
I'm going to go with Peterson.
Oh, Lindsay, you missed an opportunity there. Barry Sanders, you're all wrong. Yeah, I was surprised by this. Barry Sanders, 15,200. Adrian Peterson, 14,200. All right, so it remains Lindsay, 3. Funches, 2. Mason, 2. Just two left. All right. Who has, this one, Mace, is to you.
Okay.
Who has more Grammy Awards, Beyonce or Kanye? Mace, Beyonce or Kanye?
Beyonce or Kanye. Beyonce or Kanye.
It's close.
I will say Beyonce.
Lindsay.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go with...
Can I change?
No.
Well, I haven't given my answer yet, so technically he could.
Oh, yeah. You want to change?
Yeah, I'm changing to Kanye.
Okay. Lindsay.
Well, now that you changed, maybe I need to change what I was going to say. I'm going to say Kanye.
Funch.
I guess I got to go with Beyonce.
Funch, you're glad you did. Mace, you talked yourself out of it. Beyonce,
I thought you were going to do the it's always Kanye bit on me.
No. Yeah, Beyonce has 24 and Kanye has 21. Okay. That means Lindsay, 3. Funch, 3. Mason, 2. All right. Means Funch, all of you go first and Lindsay goes second. This decides it.
Mm.
Which show had more Emmy nominations, Game of Thrones or The Simpsons?
Oh, Fudge. My God. Oh, I'll say The Simpsons.
Lindsay.
I'm going to guess Game of Thrones.
Mace.
A lot of all that. Simpsons have been on for like 39 years or something. But Game of Thrones has all those special effects and all that stuff. I'm going to say Game of Thrones.
The answer is Game of Thrones, which means Lindsay Fulton is on the board. Lindsay 4, Funch 3, Mason 3. Lindsay, congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks.
Wow. Game of Games has turned. That is fantastic, Lindsay.
All right, now, this was going to be the tie.
You act like it's so unexpected that I win a game.
It is so unexpected. I'm shocked.
I win games all the time.
I'm just absolutely shocked.
You
I'm blown
at
away.
Games all the time.
I'm just amazed.
And by the way, Lindsay, you have as many wins as anybody. We all now have one win. After the tomorrow, the person who wins tomorrow will take the lead into
right,
the weekend.
Right, and it's my game, so I will not be the leader going into the weekend.
Okay, the tiebreaker was going to be. Game of Thrones has the second most Emmy nominations ever. Can anyone tell me who has the most Emmy nominations? Your name is your buzzer. All-time Emmy nominations TV shows. Game of Thrones is second.
Mace.
Who's first? Mace.
Mad Men.
Incorrect. You're out. Lindsay or Funch?
Funch. Sopranos?
Incorrect. Lindsay, you want to take a shot?
Sure. How about Seinfeld? I don't know.
No, all good guesses. It's not close. I mentioned Game of Thrones was second with 129.
Yeah.
The show with the most has 260.
What?
It's still in the air today. Does that help anybody?
Still on the air.
Yep.
Is it like National Geographic something?
Nope.
Is it Law and Order?
Nope.
I got no clue.
The answer, Mace, you should have got it. You've been there. Saturday Night Live. 260.
Oh, Saturday Night Live. Of course. It's been on for 42 years.
Yeah, 260
years.
Nominations, number one all time. But Lindsay, we didn't need the tiebreaker because you are today's victor.
Because I won. That means
exactly.
You guys are all losers.
There you go. That's what we're looking. We're looking for everybody to gloat.
Yeah, we
over
want
this,
a little
Lindsay.
Salt. Yeah,
yeah,
that's it. We want people to be salty.
All right, there you have your Game of Games. Coming up next for you is Crosstalk with Alan Sliwa, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, what are you guys doing? It is Thursday night, and Alan Sliwa will be joining us any minute here.
Hey, Mace, listen to this.
Okay.
You said yesterday, what's the name of the Christopher Nolan movie you want to go see?
It is called Tenet.
Okay.
Starring John David Washington and Robert Pattinson.
So the AMC theaters, which you would know better than I, are they the largest group of theater owners in the country?
It's either them or Regal, but it's really close, yeah.
Okay, so they have thousands of theaters.
Yes, they do.
Or hundreds, at least.
No, thousands.
Okay, so they announced today that they're going to reopen on July 15th. All right, so less than a month from now. Today's the 18th of June. They will not require customers to wear masks in its theaters. The reason, they say, is to avoid political controversy.
What do you mean to avoid political controversy?
Their CEO says he will be wearing one, but he doesn't want to force anyone else to wear one. But let me ask you this. You've already said that because you're so excited about Tenet,
yep,
that you would go see it. You would make an exception. You weren't crazy about going to a theater, but you would make an exception in this case because you're a big Christopher Nolan fan.
Christopher Nolan, unbelievable. Got to see it on a big screen, not the same thing at home.
But, would you see it under those conditions that you would be wearing a mask, but the people, now keep in mind, there'll be social distancing. They're only going to have 30% occupancy in the theater. But if you walked in and you saw a bunch of people sitting there, and they were not wearing masks, would you stay or would you walk out?
I'd walk out. I'm not going to go.
You would just wait till you could see it in a theater where everyone was required to wear a
absolutely.
Mask.
And you know, like in California, AMC can play by their own rules, but California is requiring everybody to wear masks now. But I would not go to see the movie. I'm excited for that movie. There are a couple of things, John, you know, we've talked about this. Everybody has their own comfort level in the world right now. And mine is, I'm being more cautious than you are. Nothing wrong with what you're doing. Nothing wrong with what I'm doing. No judgment. But there are some things that I'm willing to do. One of them is to, I mean, amazingly, my first public thing I might go to is to see the movie Tenet, because I love Christopher Nolan. It's coming out on July the 31st. John David Washington, Robert Pattinson. Movie is shrouded in mystery, as all of Christopher Nolan's movies are. But that might be the first public thing I do. I won't go to a restaurant. I'll go to a movie.
Alan Sliwa joining us. Sliwa, if you walked into a movie... Mm-hmm. And you noticed that there's going to be required social distancing, so there wouldn't be someone on either side of you, and theoretically there wouldn't be anyone within 6 feet of you. But the majority of people in the theater were not wearing masks. Would you stay or would you walk out?
I think I would. I think I'd stay just because I'm already there. But here's the reality. I see where you guys are getting at. There's a ton of people I feel like have been so lax on the masks these last couple of weeks, or maybe in these last 30 days. Yeah, I'd be uncomfortable. It'd definitely be uncomfortable.
Well, think about this. You're in a dark room. Mace, what if somebody sneezed or coughed? Wouldn't you be sitting there the whole time going, I wonder if that was a person that had a mask on?
Oh, yeah, of course. The moment I hear a cough in a theater, like I was watching some cable news show last night, and one of the guests was choking or coughing. And I thought, geez, she's on TV, and she's got the coronavirus. Then she made an excuse about how there's pollen in the air, and it probably was pollen in the air. Mm-hmm. But when I hear somebody cough now, it's got that it sends a chill. I'm like, well, might have it.
Think about this. A friend of mine pointed this out to me the other day when we were golfing, and he's 100% right. But this is a sentence I never thought I would say. It's now more socially appropriate to fart than it is to cough or sneeze. Because think about it. If you do the first one, you in essence have a mask. All right? If you're passing gas, you have a mask. You have pants on.
You're right.
But if you cough or sneeze, if somebody farts, you'll just go, oh, gross. But if somebody coughs or sneezes, you'll go, oh, am I okay? It's like now coughing and sneezing is the new, like, thing that nobody will allow.
It's the new fart? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Coughing and sneezing is the new fart?
It's now worse than a fart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It actually really is. I mean, and everybody, I think everybody has this experience. If you're out and about, if you go to a grocery store and you have your mask on, and if you sneezed and, you know, put your head towards your shoulder just to block it off as much as possible, you're getting some dirty looks. And there's nothing you can do about it. You know, you can have everything on that you possibly can, but you're going to sneeze and cough. That's just going to happen. People are, you know, they're going to give you a dirty look, or they're going to just kind of look, okay, where did that come from? You're much more cautious than you ever have been.
Well, here's so my very good and neurotic friend, Sue Kalinske, said to me that she was in a situation where she went to a pharmacy and she saw somebody without a mask. And nobody wants to, like, I'm not the guy that's going to confront the person without the mask. I'm not that guy.
Unless there's an anonymous snitch line, and then you would use that.
But she did go to the manager and point out the guy that wasn't wearing the mask. And then the manager had to go and escort the guy out of the store because it said right on the front door, masks are mandatory. So, but I'm not the confront the person who's not wearing the mask guy. Alan, are you?
I like the way she approached it, you know. And by the way, how careless?
Non-confrontational.
Non-confrontational. It's somebody that works there. It's just like, hey, these are our rules. This is our policy. But how, you know, I guess how careless can you be in just the circumstances that we're in? And every place says put a mask on when you walk in, it's really actually the worst. It's disrespectful to those who are working there. It raises their risk of potentially attracting the or contracting the virus. So I don't think I would do it personally, but definitely, yeah, you should. You should kind of tell somebody who works there, hey, just a heads up, you know, you should know that somebody's here and they should be wearing their mask.
All right, let me change the subject because Mace, here's a development in the Mike Gundy story that we were talking about earlier. Mike Gundy has now issued three apologies. The first one was some incredibly weird thing where he made Chuba Hubbard stand next to him and they both apologized. I still, in 2 days, haven't figured out what Chuba apologized for. But anyway, Gundy dragged him into it. And then the second apology, he was reading a statement off a teleprompter. And then today he was doing interviews where he was calling himself a dumbass.
Yeah.
You told the story, Mace, earlier in the show that former NFL and Colorado defensive end Alfred Williams.
Yes.
Is accusing Gundy of using the N-word when the two teams played each other back in 1989. Gundy was the quarterback at Oklahoma State. Williams is now asking for an apology. What would be, Mace, in essence, a fourth apology.
Right.
Here's what Williams said, quote, "I want an apology from him, and I want to see him have some growth." Mace, if you were Gundy and your goal was to keep your gig, to stay employed, would you issue a fourth apology, this one a personal apology to Alfred Williams?
That is such a tough question because, and by the way, Williams says that there are 20 guys who will back him up on this. Williams is a talk show host now at KOA in Denver, so he's got a platform. And he said he's got no reason to be making this up. He's got there's no reason that he should invent this story. And he's got 20 guys who will back him up.
But if you're Gundy and you apologize to him, then you're in essence admitting that you did it.
Admitting you did it, exactly.
And isn't that a fireable offense?
Yeah, that is a fireable offense. I don't know how Gundy is going to survive this. I've said before, maybe he will. Maybe he will. Maybe there's a really rich alumnus there. Is that
T. Boone Pickens?
T. Boone Pickens. Maybe T. Boone Pickens, who's the biggest alumnus, multi-millionaire.
Yeah, he gives more money to the Oklahoma State football program than any one individual gives to any athletic department in the country.
I would imagine that the university president has no control over this. I would imagine the athletic department has no control over this, the athletic director. I think this is probably a T. Boone Pickens decision. So in the end, it's what T. Boone Pickens wants. If he wants Gundy to survive this and continue as head coach, T. Boone Pickens will get his way. I personally would fire him.
Mace, and here's the thing, too, just to play off of that. What's really changed? I mean, that apology, the second one, John, of the list of apologies that he had, it was so scripted. Nothing came from the heart. Yeah,
you could tell he was reading it. And then, okay, so let's play a couple of things here. First, Funch, play Mike Gundy today where he calls himself a dumbass. This was Gundy, I think, on Golic and We Are doing some type of interview with somebody else. Here's Mike Gundy.
I didn't know that some of the stances they had taken. I didn't know that. But then you look at it and say, okay, I was a dumbass. I put the shirt on not knowing enough about the shirt. I understood exactly why the players got frustrated when they found that out, or whatever, however they found out what it was. I didn't know. I didn't know till the next day. Well, I knew that night, but I didn't confirm it till I did a little research, and I was like, what a dumbass. So that was my fault. The way the players feel about me, and I upset them and broke their heart, that bothered me more than losing games, and that's the truth. But that's why now that as humans, when we make mistakes, the only thing we can do is admit we're wrong, own up to it, be humble, accept critical people, criticism, make it better and move forward.
Then Paul Feinbaum heard all that, and Paul is, of course, the lead college football analyst at ESPN.
Yep.
And he ain't buying it from Mike Gundy. Here's Feinbaum.
Mike Gundy is still the same buffoon today that he was 4 days ago. And, you know, he has tried to inarticulately talk his way out of something that he just can't do. His explanations become more ridiculous every time he opens his mouth. The only thing I do agree with him on is when he said yesterday, I'm a dumbass. I mean, nobody's disagreeing with him on that. But there's still no reason why he should be the head football coach at Oklahoma State. I mean, so many people have come at anyone who has criticized him and say, you know, why would you fire a guy over a T-shirt? That's not the issue. Anyone who's reasonable knows that this is about his conduct over many, many years. And already this week, he embarrassed himself by wearing the T-shirt. He embarrassed himself by trying to make his player apologize. And then, you know, he continues to embarrass himself. Then by flipping and flopping and saying that he didn't realize what this was all about. I mean, 3.5 weeks into the most intense social and racial inequity conversation in my lifetime, he still didn't get it until his players told him. I mean, that's just patently absurd.
Okay, so couple of things. Mace, you mentioned T. Boone Pickens. Lindsay, yes. Is he still alive?
No, he's dead. He died in September of last year.
Okay, so that helps tremendously clear this up. Because Mace,
so he's technically not going to make this decision. I just want to point that out.
But
Pickens
Mace,
will not have any input into
Mace,
this decision.
His surviving heirs may make the decision. Listen to this. Over the years, before he died, Pickens donated $652 million to Oklahoma State, split virtually evenly between athletics and academics. His $165 million gift to Oklahoma State in 2005 is the largest gift for athletics in NCAA history. So I don't know who controls his foundation. But that person, to your original point, Mace, that person's going to have a say in this.
That person will have a say, yeah. It may not be T. Boone himself.
Oh, that would
unless
be hard.
He's got, unless he's got supernatural powers. But somebody that's running as a state
totally
might.
Could.
It totally
so he
could.
Money.
Yeah.
Money buys you anything.
Think he survives, Mace. I don't think he does. I think there's such pressure now. This isn't a conversation that just was, okay, it was just that one day. Or, you know what, they put that fire out, Oklahoma State and just everybody involved in that. He got it taken care of. It was a genuine mistake. I think he has looked stupider as this has gone on. I wouldn't be surprised that just under this climate that they wipe their hands clean and say, let's get out of the way here. We'll start fresh and figure it out.
Yeah, the better question is, though, Alan, would you fire him?
I think it's so insensitive for him to say he did not know what that shirt meant.
What if he didn't? What if he's telling the truth?
He's praised this network in the past on a bunch of different occasions. It's not like he was not – he didn't just reach into his closet and grab a T-shirt that happened to say OAN on it. He's a regular viewer to this OAN network and has talked about it on conference calls as recently like as a month ago, talked about OAN and talked about snowflakes and talked about
– and
all
he
this.
Says, I know nothing.
Now
gambling,
he says,
I'm shocked. Shocked that it's going on in this institution.
In fact, you know, he probably got that T-shirt because he praised them so much that they
correct.
Were like, dang, Mike Gundy is our dude. Let's send him free stuff. That's probably how he got it.
You're absolutely right, Lindsay. That is probably exactly how he got it. Exactly.
And Mace, maybe, listen, maybe that's okay. He's a fan of that network. You know, like what I mean by that is he's not the only one. But just think of the climate. That the story that you were bringing out earlier today, John, you said that a 51-year-old who has a platform, he's talking about this is the term he used against him back in, you said, 1989, I think is what you mentioned.
Yeah.
These are – you think he's lying? Like, I don't think he's lying. I mean, these are just – and I'm not saying people don't make mistakes, but come on now. You put these pieces together under this climate. It doesn't sound like this is going to be something that he survives, but we'll see.
All right, now changing the subject, Alan, did you see the pictures Mason sent out where Mason and I are women?
Not bad.
Okay, so...
No, it is bad. We are completely ugly.
But, Alan, let me ask you a real question here. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a real question.
Mm-hmm.
You have to date one of those women. You have to date one. Which is the woman that you would date?
I just become a priest.
Ha ha ha!
All right. Now, the more important question, Alan, is Lindsay put those two pictures and created two phony Tinder accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Will anyone swipe right on either one of those women?
100%. 100%. You guys are going to have... you'll have
we
some
will
people
have
reaching
our
out.
Choice. We will have our choice.
In fact, I only checked John's, but I mean Ramona's, as in Ramona John's, not Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, John's going by the name Ramona.
Yeah, I checked that one, and he already had a match. So
hey, tell me about the match. What's the match? Describe who swiped right on me.
Let me check the guy out that swiped on you.
Now, there's no last names here, right?
No.
Or if there is,
names.
don't give them. Just tell me what the profile is, and I'll decide.
By the way, our boss Amanda Brown just tweeted, "I think you guys look better as women."
Hey.
Well, so does
she has
Jonathan.
Done nothing That's but not she a, has done
not
nothing but take shots at us lately.
Jonathan, a 36-year-old male who
hey, not bad, 36.
Let's see. Let me give you a
hey,
mate. Profile.
Yeah. That makes profile? Me a cougar.
That does make you a cougar. Yeah.
Do you want the profile description?
Yep, please.
It says, "Listen, am I the most attractive guy out there? Of course not. But do I have a good personality? No. But I do. But do I wake up every day and try to be the best person I can be? Also, no." So there you go.
I like him.
Well, I like the profile. I like the snarky profile.
Yeah.
Mace, what was your name on there?
Brittany. I'm clearly a Brittany. I mean, if you look at me, my picture, I'm definitely a Brittany.
Sure.
Does Brittany have any matches, Lindsay?
I haven't checked, but by the time we get back from the next break, I'll let you guys know.
Blondes definitely have more fun. Blondes
yeah, people
fun.
Apparently are quite offended, Mace, that you did not know that T. Boone Pickens was dead. None of us knew.
Well, he just died.
Right.
He just died. What did he die?
September.
In September. I mean, it was just.
We're in a pandemic. Come on.
It's not my job to keep track of whether T-Bone Pickens is alive or dead. All right. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Four pro service specials. Another outstanding cross-trade service for our 710 ESPN listeners. Special right now, $59 AC tune-up and safety inspection with temporary disinfect for your HVAC system. Go to powerproplumbing.com.
I just got an update real quick. I'm going to pass this along. T. Boone Pickens, still dead.
Okay. I was just reading about him.
Yeah.
All right. So he gave billions away. I mean, it was like he was an extraordinary philanthropist. So
yes.
Good for him. He was married and divorced 5 times.
Oh, so he had nothing when he died.
Mace, being objective here, we had Larry King on. What did he said he's married and divorced 8 times, right?
8 times, right.
Boy, how many is too many? Or should you, is it admirable that you keep believing in love?
The cutoff, I think, is 3.
Yeah, 3 anything, sounds right.
Anything more than 3, and I think people are going to look at you as sketchy. Because if you haven't figured it out, like the first one, obviously. The second one, completely understandable. I know plenty of people who've been married twice. I don't even think I know anybody that's been married 3 times. I mean, I know they exist, especially in L.A., but I don't think I personally know anybody that's been married 3 times.
I know.
So 3 is the cutoff.
One of Lisa's friends has, and let's just say that it's 3 and counting.
Like, really?
By the end, she's going to have like 5. She's a modern-day Elizabeth Taylor, and she's super attractive, so she's never going to have a shortage of suitors, but she's really dramatic, so when these guys get married to her, they all go, oh, God, what did I do? And they run for the hills.
I worked
Lindsay,
with a,
how many marriages, if you met a guy and he told you, I've been married 3 times, would you continue to go out with him? One.
So, in other words, you would be the second marriage, but that's it.
Okay, so, Lindsay, would it make a difference? What if one of the weddings previous spouses was widowed? Something weird happened, like an accident or something. Like not something fishy. Okay.
Not something fishy. Not like she disappeared in the San Angeles forest.
Well, yeah, like people that have like one of those Tiger King people had like two different husbands, right? Like disappeared,
not,
right?
Not somebody on Dateline. Right, right. Yeah, I have a friend who just occurred to me, a news anchor friend, who would always say to me, "You're lucky you don't have a second wife," and it was because of the money. Because when you get divorced, you owe money. It's like, well, how much did Jeff Bezos give up?
Well, I don't
half think, right.
Well, no, it was a third of his fortune, but it was so much money that when it was over, at the time, Bezos was the richest man in the world, and his wife, his ex-wife, was third. That's wow. How much money he was giving her. And yeah, like Rupert Murdoch
says, $38 billion in divorce settlement.
Jeez.
Oh.
$38 billion.
That's got to hurt.
I just want $1 billion.
So this story came across. By the way, do you have anything, Alan, or are we just running this show?
No. No, you guys had mentioned something earlier in the show that I just never have even thought of. You remember, John, last week, or actually it might have even been
was
earlier this week.
Was it the sex doll thing? Is that what you were looking
for? It was not the sex doll.
Did you hear the sex doll thing?
I did not hear the sex doll.
You did not? Oh, well, then let me just interrupt you for one second.
Mm-hmm. Please.
So there's a brand new company that is putting out sex robots. And what they've done is they figured out a way for them to become conversational. So we were imagining what sorts of things they might say. And
you can really gain some chemistry there. Yep. Makes
correct.
Sense.
So if John had a sex doll, she might say this.
Hey, John, bring your peanut head over here.
Bring your peanut head over here. Or,
hey, big boy, say, love me up.
Big boy,
now,
love me up.
Mace, not that I'm interested,
yeah.
But if I was, theoretically, could they make the sex doll sound like Kate Beckinsale?
I believe they could make her look like Kate Beckinsale and sound like Kate Beckinsale.
So I don't know if you were kidding or not, but if that's the case, like if you can...
You can definitely get one made to order. Like you could say...
I think this thing will actually be a hit, and I think your contention that the coronavirus will increase their popularity is 100% accurate.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we are entering the sex doll era. Now, what were you going to get into?
I don't know if I should transition from that into what you guys were talking about earlier in the show.
Which is what?
Yeah, no, that's okay. We can make a sharp pivot. That's all right.
Okay, this will be a sharp pivot. John, earlier in the week, I had mentioned, I said, you know, what happens in the NBA in this bubble of if this happens, then this is where we pull the plug. And you guys started having the conversation about,
yes,
what if somebody, you know, if one person, one player, one athlete, one coach passed away?
Right. Died in one of the respective leagues.
Does that shut everything down? And it's not just for that league, but does it pretty much shut everything down for everybody? I've never thought of it that way. We should, right? Like, I don't think that's a stretch to think of it that way. But when you guys mentioned it, kind of given it that angle, I think it does. I don't know if, you know, we're talking about right now, there's so much public pressure of just all these certain conversations and topics. How does a league... I don't know if I could see a league saying, okay, well, that happened, but we'll keep going and hope it doesn't happen in our league.
Right.
Well,
right.
It's the old acceptable losses question. What is acceptable? If 100 people got hospitalized, do you keep playing? So no one's dying, but they're all in the hospital. You don't want to jam up the hospital system. I would think you consider stopping then. But I don't know. And they've got to have had these conversations. They've got to be ready for whatever, if it's football. You know, the weird thing is, Alan, basketball to me is doing everything they can to tip the scales in their favor. It still may not work. It's still like coronavirus could rear its ugly head and the whole thing doesn't work. But they are at least doing everything they can to give themselves the best chance at pulling this off.
Yep.
Football is the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. Football's not doing anything.
Yeah, we talk about the bubble with the NBA. I think that the NFL and college football is in a bubble of ignorance. They just think they're going to bull their way through this thing, and that everything is going to break their way. And I think they are opening to, in a lot of ways. You're traveling a lot. They're talking about having fans. They're talking about training camps. We already know the last week, some Dallas Cowboys, some Houston Texans tested positive.
How about what 13 guys at UT today, University of Texas, 13 guys tested positive.
Yeah, what if you lose a third of your team all of a sudden going into a big game? Or what if your trainer, somebody from your training staff, or a referee? I mean, because not everybody's young and in good health necessarily. What if the guy that holds the flags, he's the guy that contracts the virus, and he's got underlying conditions, and he winds up in the hospital? It's like there are so many potential scenarios that could completely derail college football and the NFL.
The only advantage that college football and NFL have is July 8th, you'll start MLS. We all assume baseball, when they're done going back and forth, will start some point, let's say towards the end of July. We know the NBA will be July 30th. At least the one thing NFL and college football will have, maybe a little bit more data, maybe to see which league is, okay, that's working better than MLS, or MLS is working better than what baseball's trying to do.
Yeah,
they'll have
right,
a little bit of that.
I couldn't disagree more. I mean, your whole job in football is to do the opposite of socially distance.
It's to hunt down the guy with the ball, wrap him up, and throw him to the ground.
Your job is literally to close any social distance between you and another player.
Even when you're just like throwing a block.
Well, and Mace, you saw in May, Fauci had said football was the perfect setup to spread the virus. And,
yes.
And John, you complimented that the NBA has done everything they possibly could to this point to try and come up with a system that they think might work.
Right.
I think Fauci has been the only one, or the NBA has been the only sport Fauci has said, I like what they're doing. I think it's very creative. Like, he literally has, you know, sound bites.
Yeah, because the other two major sports won't go into a bubble.
Yeah.
Baseball and football have no discussions of a bubble. All right, this all this talk is very captivating, Alan. But we've only got a couple of minutes left, and it's very important that we check with Lindsay to see. Lindsay, we need a Tinder update. You mentioned earlier that my fake made up face on a woman did get a match. Has Mason's Britney Spears look attracted any matches?
Yes. So let me just reiterate, when I started swiping right on everybody for John/Ramona's. And I opened it to find one match. And okay. I probably did the same amount of swipes with Mason/Britney's. And I've got like 1, 2, 3, 4
That a boy, Mace. Or should I say that a girl?
I'm a great looking woman.
Not only do you already have 4 matches, also already have a message from
this gentleman
named Emery.
This is great.
All right, what is the message from Emery?
It just says hi. You want the profile?
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Give us a profile.
Okay, Emery is a 36-year-old man. He's a bit like slender, got like a goatee, has all his hair, so that's a good sign.
How old?
36. Lindsay, how old did you make us?
Both of you guys are 45.
45. Okay.
Hey,
thank you for that.
So now you're a cougar.
We appreciate that.
Mason and I are both cougars. All right. What else can you tell us about Emery?
Okay. It says, I own my own house and car. So that's promising.
Nice.
I work my butt off 40 to 63 hours a week.
Oh,
hey,
God bless
Mace, the guy's never home. That's a good situation for you.
Here's a great pickup line that they finished their profile with. If the coronavirus doesn't take you out, can I?
Nice.
Attempt at being funny.
A lot of time Emery. To come up with that one.
Emery, too some soon. Coronavirus mm-hmm. humor. I like that. Yeah, I like
Lee,
that.
Well, what's coming up on your show?
Marley Rivera will join the show at 7, and then Andrew Grief from the LA Times will come on at 8:30.
Cool. We're back tomorrow, 2:55 sharp. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.